This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm feeling great. Well, my back hurts, but I'm great.
We finished the run?
Oh yeah. The run went fine.
How'd everything else go?
Well, it was all great. It was all great.
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
That's true. It was, so 5K. My wife did win.
I would say, how many lengths did she beat you by?
A lot. She was running like 720 miles.
Mm. What were you running?
Eights. So she beat me by 2 minutes. She beat me by 2 minutes, and I felt good about my time. I felt good. I was okay. But boy, that whole elevation thing, you know what Denver should do? They should advertise more that they're at a mile high.
I told you, man.
You know? It just feels...
You said you were 4,400 feet?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it said on there. It was 4,400 feet.
It'll get you, man.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You find yourself running. Like, you find yourself like reaching out for air and it's just not there.
No, it just feels like there's like a python wrapped around your lungs the entire time. Mm-hmm. But it was... I did it. It's done. You know, when you're cursing out, you know, one of your best friends on his birthday, it's a rewarding feeling.
Absolutely. That's how it should go.
You know, just sitting there for, you know, 20 plus minutes or 24 minutes or whatever it was, just going, why am I friends with you? Why do I do this? What am I doing here? Golly. But it was good. The other events, you know, we had cornhole, pickleball, free throw competition. It was a fun time. It was a great time out in Sun River. The weather was not great though. It was like that cloudy, rainy kind of
drizzle.
Blah.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's you know, that high desert air. You're good. I love Sun River. We really are lucky to have. We have the Oregon coast, which we get like a handful of good days every year. You get the Willamette Valley, which is awesome. And then you have the high desert. And it's all within 3 hours of us right here. It's great.
The cool thing about being in the military is you run into people from all over the world. And so often, you run into people that have never been up here.
Yeah.
Or Oregon or Washington. And all they know is, you know, Portlandia or, you know,
right,
the Seattle grunge vibe. They don't really know what it is. And I always tell people, like, man, where I live.
Weirdos and trees.
I have an hour drive to a 12,000 foot tall mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I have an hour drive to an ocean. I have, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour drive to like wide open valleys and plains, and a 3 hour drive to dunes. I have a 2 hour drive to the desert.
Yeah.
I have a 20 minute drive to multiple rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like no other, like, I've been all over the world. There are very few places that are as geographically diverse in such a small area as this place.
Yeah.
And it is like one of the main reasons I stay here.
I actually played football with a guy from Buffalo, New York, who in college, all he did was he Googled college football mountain water.
My man wanted to get away from the flatland.
And he found Ashland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved it. He still lives in Ashland, Oregon, 20 plus years later. He's still down there. He came up here. He actually played for the Portland Lumberjacks.
Mm.
Yeah. After he was done. Jameson Whitehead.
Oh, no kidding. Name. Yeah.
Yeah. Great dude. And
Lumberjacks or Forest Dragons?
Nope. Lumberjacks.
Yeah,
he played the professional indoor lacrosse up here. Yeah. He was a great dude. He was a better lacrosse player than football player, but there wasn't a lot of lacrosse options. So he ended up doing that, and now he's living back down. He works for, I think, the Department of Wildlife, Fish and Wildlife. Yeah, he's living the dream, man.
I know a dude who's a forest ranger who sits in one of those towers all summer long in Montana.
Yeah. That'd be boring.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Some people, man.
It's like it is his dream place to be.
We also, when Whitehead showed up from Buffalo, he didn't have a place to live yet. And so our coach was like, hey, can he stay with you guys? We're like, all right. I'm gone. I'm out of the house. And I get a call. I was like, hey, we lost the new guy. And I was like, what do you mean you lost the new guy? He's like, well, he said he wanted to go for a bike ride. And it's been 4 hours.
Mm.
We don't know where he is. Wasn't picking up his phone.
Didn't have the Find My iPhone back then either.
He went on a bike ride and popped a tire.
Oh, no. And he had to walk it back?
Yeah, but here's the thing. He went down like there's a bike path that basically connects Ashland all the way up to Medford. He was on that somewhere.
Mm.
And then it got dark.
Oh, no.
And he didn't know where he was. And he didn't have like any of our numbers. We only had his number. He didn't get service for a lot of it. He was gone for a good 8 hours. We lost him for a work day. he popped back up. We're like, hey, where have you been? He's like, oh, got a flat tire. He was just carrying the bike.
I had to do that once with the road bike. And then after that, so you get the little pouch you can put under your seat. You can put a spare into. And having to walk with clip-ins on, with, you know, like penguin walk a long period of time, not fun. Not fun.
Yeah. He wasn't on that kind of bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just cruising.
Mountain biking.
Just cruising. Got lost. That's one of several people we lost. We found them all.
Mm.
We found them all.
Which is not uncommon in Ashland.
Well, I mean, we actually lose a lot.
That's what I'm saying. You lose a lot of people.
Yeah. No, but like we lose them. Like they're gone for good.
Yeah.
I don't know where they go. Yeah. We had guys that went missing for like a week.
Permanent darkness retreat.
And you're like, where were you? He's like, oh, Humboldt. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I know where you were. It's like
a little opium den.
A phone call would have been nice.
Yeah. But you don't go to Ashland unless you want to be able to disappear for a week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Or it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
The ones that you really lose are the ones that become hippies, and you're like, oh, boy. They live that Aaron Rodgers lifestyle. Yeah. They get them quick.
Yeah.
They get
trucks in, and like, you're cooked.
You watch that documentary, Wild Wild Country, about the Rajneeshis on Netflix?
My wife did, and I caught some of it.
Oh, you should watch it.
Mm.
You should watch it. There's a lot of people in my life that I watched it and I went, they definitely would have joined this cult.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you 100% would have been so down to join this cult. You are just lucky it happened,
away from you.
20 years earlier, or you would have been in the thick of it.
Everybody else was like, how do cults happen? How do they work? I just can't believe it. And then you see it and you're like, I can see it.
Mm-hmm. That one,
yeah.
Communal lifestyle, living off the land, you know, a life seemingly good, drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many people I was like, yeah, your life would be a lot different, mm-hmm. man, now. Because, like, eventually those people figured it out. Mm-hmm. Like, the people that I know, they figured it out.
Sure.
They're well-adjusted humans. If that opportunity would have been there between the ages of 18 and 21 or 22.
They go from well-adjusted to poorly adjusted very quickly.
They're gone. They are people that are cult survivors, mm-hmm. or not.
Or in jail.
That's right.
It happens.
For poisoning the dolls.
Yeah.
Not good people.
No.
Not good people.
I have a bone to pick with you.
All right. What do we got?
You hexed me.
No, you did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And
I know you do because I texted you because I was pissed.
You can't. No. No. This is rule number one of I'm getting into golfing guy.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm taking lessons guy.
Yeah.
You go to lessons, you figure it out, and you're like, oh, this feels really good. This is going to change who I am.
Yeah.
And you came to me saying, I'm going in the 90s.
Yep.
And I said, you just guaranteed yourself
105.
Five is what I said.
I went 107.
You went 107.
Issues that I've never had on a golf course, all of them.
You will learn this.
All of them. And it was so frustrating.
It is going to stop you from ever saying, I'm going to shoot X.
Yeah.
Like, it's a learning experience. I didn't do it. Golf gods did it. You know, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
You.
That is something that you go through. And you learned.
Oh,
you learned.
God,
now you're not gonna cocky sniff your way out to a tee box ever again.
No, I am.
Did you see Wyndham Clark at the PGA Championship throw his driver and snap it?
Yep.
Did you see Tyrell Hatton call himself an MF-er about 80 times during? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
I think one of those he called his club the MF-er.
Yeah. Okay.
After he spit on it.
Yeah. Well, also, golf guy, you'll learn it's not you, it's your clubs.
See, I don't blame him.
It's a poor musician who blames his instrument.
I never blame the clubs, I blame the dummy swinging them. I did a lot of, what are you doing? You don't do this. You have other problems.
Yeah.
These are not your problems. These are somebody else's problems. Why are you doing these now?
They're your problems now, my man. They are your problems, and they welcome.
Yeah, then I went out and did the TrackMan driving range yesterday, and they were all gone.
Oh, yeah?
We actually went really well.
All the TrackMan ones?
Yeah, I was actually really surprised. And I was like, okay, so I'm an idiot.
About what?
Just everything.
Oh. That made you think that?
I'm the idiot. See?
You've said that before.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm aware.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I've become a full-on, speaking of cults, I'm a golf cultist now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that just means you're an adult male.
Yeah.
You got there.
My wife is very supportive of this, too.
Like, you're either a golf cultist, a hunting cultist, you are a body of water guy.
Mm.
Just like, you know, as just any body of water, lakes, rivers, oceans, you're just going to be a water cultist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just fall into one of them.
I really thought I thought I was going to be barbecue guy. Go full barbecue smoker.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah, that has a lifespan for everybody, too.
Yeah.
Like, you get really into it, and you get really good at it, and then you're like, all right, well, I can go back to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll go back to this anytime.
Yeah.
And then you find something new.
Mm.
I feel like you'll be a golf cultist for a while, and then you're a hop-around cult guy. I think you're going to be a hop-around cult guy. There's going to become a time where
cult
you start
dabbler.
Playing. Yeah. You're going to start playing instruments again. You know,
that's
what you're going to do.
That's already happened.
No,
that's already happened.
It'll all become cyclical. Yeah. You're just finding new kinks.
I've told my wife, I've been picking up the, or dropping little hints of me buying a new drum set again.
A drum set?
Oh, yeah. I played for 20 years.
Well, yeah, but the loudest and most obnoxious.
I have a soundproof studio.
That don't, no.
No, it's fine.
No, there's
people
that
soundproof
too.
You can still hear stuff outside.
Yeah. We're in a soundproof booth, and you can hear right outside. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can hear it.
I mean, it's very.
It's
very,
not.
It is.
It's not as much as you think.
It's good.
I'm speaking for your neighbors right now.
No, we're good.
I'm doing this for
we're
your
good.
Neighbors.
We're good.
I don't
speaking
think you
for
are.
His wife.
Nah, you won't hear it in the house.
There has to be, like, I mean, between the metal and now the drums.
Mm.
I mean, your wife has got to be able to just tune anything out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be like her superpower.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, she's the least of my worries. She's already a saint for picking up
me.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be, I'm speaking for the neighbors.
No, you know what's funny? Neighbors love metal too. Here's what's funny. My neighbors are huge Raiders fans and metal fans. Very convenient.
Huh.
Yeah. They have the RV.
You know what?
They have the RV. They drive down to Vegas for
that explains
for a
lot.
Couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think Raider folk just kind of find each other.
Yeah.
You know, you do.
Speaking of cults.
Ooh, you should get electric drums with the headphones.
Yeah,
with
no.
This
I've had a set. I don't like them. They feel weird.
Yeah.
They feel weird.
All right.
They sound weird.
Because you want it to be loud enough to where your soundproof studio does not.
No, it's the feel, man.
Yeah.
It's the feel.
All right. They don't have, like, the haptic drums yet bounce back.
I mean, they do, but they just still feel weird. It's like, electric drums are like the condoms of the drum world.
Mm, okay. Wait. We'll dive into that later. All right.
The sensation's gone.
Let's get this show on the road, shall we? We've got the conference finals. They get underway this evening. We've got footballing. So hard for this being May 20th.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so much news here.
We do.
We have a ton of news.
Mm-hmm.
including somebody outlining a way. Are we going to see a spending floor come to big time college football? But where we got to start, the big fella gets quite the honor. Or does he? Danny Dusty on the Fan. We passed upon the stairs. King Klong ain't got nothing on me. Well, actually, there's a couple of people that have something on Kling Kong. Donovan Klingon has been named to the second team all-rookie.
A little bit of a surprise. I thought he had a decent chance of doing it, but I thought maybe one of the other bigs would squeeze him out. They ultimately end up going with five bigs across both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Zach Edey on the first team.
And Alex Sarr.
Alex Sarr, first team. Mm-hmm. Also making the first team were Stephon Castle, the rookie of the year, made it. Wow, good for him.
Unanimous.
Surprising.
100 first team votes.
Yeah. Zachary Arizashe and Jalen Wells. Jalen Wells.
He had a really good season.
Probably the one guy that people didn't expect to be on one of these teams at the beginning of the year. Yeah. He is on it.
And Jared McCain would have made this had he not gotten hurt, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Second team, Matas Buzelis of the Bulls.
Big, big push, basically post January 15th on.
And then here's your run of Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Former Blazer great, Bub Carrington.
There you go.
Well, on draft day.
Indeed.
And then Donovan Klingon, former Duck, turned Indiana Hoosier, turned Miami Heat, Kal-El Ware.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yves Missy making the second team. So Klingon, Ware, Missy, bigs on the second team, Edey Sarr on the first team. Five bigs. Return of the big man.
Isaiah Collier just missed out on the last spot, tying for one of the spots, which you can tie and make a team. Brandon Roy and Jorge Garbajosa tied for the first team in Brandon's rookie year.
Okay.
So... The thing about all rookie teams is I just want to give you a couple guys here.
Was Ron Holland anywhere close?
I believe he finished fourth for first off, if I remember right.
Because I mean, Ron Holland was obviously a high lottery pick. People had very high hopes of Ron Holland as he was coming out of Duncanville High School before he went and played in the
third
G League Ignite. But he came on more at the end of the year and played a role on a good team, and that's why people saw him a little bit more than others.
The only guy who was close was Collier. He missed it by one. He got 52 total points.
All right.
Bub Carrington got 53. After that, you had Filipowski, Holland, and Connect at 19, 17, and 17 total points.
All right. Does this say more about anything about Donovan Klingon being on the second team? Or would it? You think it says more about, look, that pivot that we've been talking about for a couple of years now to the game getting more physical as everything transitions so far to outside, perimeter-oriented, shooting threes, it's getting closer to the rim, five big men on the top two teams.
Yeah, I think it does play a part of it, but it was also that class was a very much, it was big heavy.
Ding, 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 ding.
That was a big part of it, and you don't often, I mean, think about that. You mean, you've got Sarr at 7 foot, you've got Ware at 7 foot, you've got DC at 7'3", Eve Missy's 6'11", like just a lot of really big dudes. And if you look at this class, it's very short on big men.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're talking like true dyed-in-the-wool big men, it's just Malawach. Who's again 7'2", 7'3"? He's enormous, but
kind of skinny.
Thomas Sorber is 6'9", 6'10". Derek Queen is 6'9", 6'10". Like, there's not a ton of guys in this class that are huge. And then next year's class, 2026 class, is loaded with wings. It's all just right. Cyclical. You'll kind of see that, but no, I think it does play a part in it though, as far as like getting bigger. Scarcity always plays a part in that. There's just the less dudes on the planet that are that big. But I've seen a lot of people, get upset or bothered by all rookie teams. I want to highlight a couple here. Giannis Antetokounmpo finished second team all rookie behind guys like Mason Plumlee and Trey Burke. Langston Galloway was an all rookie team member. You just kind of go through the list.
Trey Burke had a minute. So did Blazer great, Mason Plumlee.
Yogi Ferrell was a second team all rookie player. Jamal Murray and Jaylen Brown also on that second team.
I don't think the commissioner is going to like this, Yogi.
Yeah, there you go. Landry Shamet was a...
Was that Coach K, or was that...
Coach K, a little boo-boo. Yeah.
I thought you were going Coach K at
They blend
first.
Together a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I love Duke.
I mean, Bones Highland and Chris Duarte were all rookie team members. I mean, you can see some guys that pop up on here pretty regularly, and you're like, oh, right. Here's the 2011-12 all-rookie team. Kenneth Faried, Kyrie Irving, Ricky Rubio, Klay Thompson. You're like, all right, pretty good. And then tied for first. There's a three-way tie for first, or for the last spot on the all-rookie team. Brandon Knight, Amon Shumpert, and Kawhi Leonard. One of those is not like the others.
Mm. Yeah.
Marshawn,
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Marshawn Brooks, Kawhi Chandler Leonard Parsons.
Good. Amon Shumpert had a moment.
No, he had moments. Amon Shumpert, like, is very, like,
I hate serviceable
it.
Guy.
I hate it when we talk about guys who aren't all-stars. Like, if you have a 10-year career in the NBA, you were in, like, the 1% group of, like, you're good. You're good.
And these are all first-team guys, right?
Yes.
If there are five stars in a draft class, that's more impressive than anything else. Like, that draft class that you just said, the fact that there are four of them that you're like, damn.
Well, dude, 2017-18. Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma, Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, that's a
That's
good
your
one.
First team. Hell, here's an, your first team from the next year.
All right.
Luka, Trey, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson, then Marvin Bagley. Your second team.
Ooh, Marvin.
SGA, Colin Sexton, Landry Shamet, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Huerter.
Oh. Yikes.
I mean, there's
a hit and miss. Draft classes matter, man.
Yeah, I mean.
But it's littered with really good players.
And the whole,
some
like, first or second team, like, 2019-20. Ja, Kendrick Nunn, Brandon Clark, Zion, Eric Paschal. Then you've got second team, Tyler Herro, Terrence Davis, Kobe White, PJ Washington, Rui Hachimura. Like, you will find guys that pop up on first teams, you're like, And you find a guy on the second team, you're like, guy ended up being pretty damn good. Or they completely fall off a cliff.
This seems like it's a good nod for Donovan Klingon. And I think that one thing that people saw out of him were there were flashes of it being there. Conditioning was a problem throughout the entire rookie season for Donovan Klingon.
Yeah, it really wasn't until late January, that he really started. I mean, obviously, the MCL was a prohibitive factor in that. But, I mean, DC was very open about it in his exit interview. He said, I finally got myself in shape. He didn't say, oh, the coach didn't play me or this, that, or the other. He just, like, it was so funny because so many Blazers fans are like, why isn't he playing more? It's this, it's that. It's like, no, Donovan wasn't in shape. You could hear it from his teammates. You could hear it from his coaches. You could hear it from the front office. You could hear it from Donovan. They all said the same thing. And once he got in shape, he got more minutes.
Well, also at the beginning of the year, too, there was the logjam of guys that they wanted to play and see with DeAndre Ayton and then also Robert Williams and then Donovan Klingon. Like,
and DC just wasn't capable of playing more than 18, 20 minutes.
All right.
That was it.
And then, you know, injuries happened and Donovan Klingon had to play and did play.
Yeah. No, I mean, he got down to about 285 or 287. I can't remember what it was. But he was over 3 bills for a little bit.
Well, he's 7'3".
Yeah, he's a massive human.
I would say that that's okay.
And he's not built like, you know, Jared Allen. He's not just, you know, cut from stone.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting to see what he does with his body over the years. Like, does he find a way to really, not lean out, but get a little more muscle on his frame, see how much more impactful he can be.
Yeah.
When I had him on the podcast during the season, I asked him, you know, if anybody had surprised him during the season. Like, not star, didn't have to be anybody. Like, who was somebody he matched up against that was just like, holy crap? And he said Steven Adams.
Well, I would say everybody should say that. That should be an evergreen statement.
Well, he's the strongest guy in the league. He goes, I've never played somebody that I couldn't move around. And he goes, no matter what I could do, what I did, I couldn't move him around. And I could kind of see the wheels spinning in his head of like, I need to get to that level. Like, if you're a big in the NBA, you need to be a guy that cannot be moved.
Well, I mean, steroids Donovan Klingon will be very exciting.
I'm all about it. Let's get him on all of the HGH. Yeah.
All right. Well, good job.
No, you like to see this. It was going to be it felt like it was going to be a close call a couple weeks ago. And I was interested to see how this ended up shaking up, because you could have seen Collier get that spot and maybe bump one of the other bigs out. But they ended up giving it to Klingon and going with five bigs. So good for him.
All right. One little note the Blazers tweeted out earlier. He had the third best rookie rebound percentage and sixth best rookie block percentage in league history.
Yeah. That's what I look for.
Yeah.
Yeah. led the NBA with 5.9 offensive rebounds per 36 minutes.
See? Yeah, Mark Eaton 2.0.
That's what I look for. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Rebounding and block percentage, Jeff. Yeah.
Well, for a center who's, you know, 7 foot two, 7 foot three, those are kind of key.
No, that's what he hangs his hat on.
That's what I look for. All right. Hey, conference finals get underway tonight.
Woo, baby.
And it's the West coming first.
Weird.
Timberwolves, Thunder. Who needs this series the most? Not as a team, but as an individual. First is Jeff with SportsCenter. All right, we've got conference finals starting tonight in the West. Timberwolves in OKC for the Thunder.
Just like everybody thought.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
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 After the Luka trade?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So this is how we all thought this was going to go.
100%.
I actually love that our NBA playoffs is going to have new blood. And I heard you and Luke talking about this when I was on my drive home yesterday, about the fact that it was seven straight years of a new champion.
Yep.
A champion. Guys bounce around so much.
Parody era is here.
But I enjoy the fact we are going to get new teams in and that we just don't have a dominant run. If the NBA truly wants to get back to fans being a fan of a team and an organization and not just a player, this is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting to see the organizations that have their stuff together are successful, have a plan, stick to that plan, and see it through. We're seeing that. And that doesn't mean that your roster won't have changes, but an identity is ridiculously important. And I thought for a long time, it went from teams having distinct paths and identities to whichever team was able to lure multiple stars was the one that was going to win. And I like this for NBA.
Yeah, and you really look at these teams, and for the most part, you're seeing some version of homegrown. And yes, SGA is not homegrown because he was traded after his rookie year to OKC, but they've been responsible for his development. And they
sent a star to get one that wasn't yet.
Yes, and it's whether it's Chet as the number two overall pick, and yes, they add Isaiah Hartenstein, but Alex Caruso, as much as they brought him in from Chicago, we've all seen the picture circulate a thousand times of him and Mark Daigneault 9 years ago with the Oklahoma City Blue. Like that, he is a guy that has very deep ties to his basketball growth to the organization.
That's a G League team, by the way.
Finding guys like Lou Dort and Isaiah Joe and Wiggins, and you just got to go down the list. Like their whole roster, for the most part, with a little flair here and there, is homegrown.
Yeah.
Then you look at the Timberwolves. Ant Edwards is the number one overall pick. And yes, they make some moves where they send out Karl-Anthony Towns, who again was a homegrown guy, to go get Julius Randle, and they throw all that draft capital to go get Rudy Gobert, but you go and develop your own guys.
Well, I thought that in there, Dante DiVincenzo too.
Yeah.
Having a guy like Dante DiVincenzo coming off your bench and being such a big factor, especially when you have 5 billion-year-old Mike Conley, who's just sitting there orchestrating, is basically what he does. He's not the player that he once was. But when you go to whether it's Ant Edwards or, Jaden McDaniels. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, McDaniels had his year last year was really disappointing. It felt like he regressed a little bit after getting his deal. But, that's the old, adage that growth is not linear. He has been very good, but as much as Ant Edwards is responsible for everything, the guy that has been one of the best players in the entire playoffs is Julius freaking Randle.
Yeah. Dude, Julius Randle can do it.
He has been incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really interesting to watch this matchup with OKC because Minnesota is freaking huge. They are huge. They are just a massive team, whether it's, 7 foot two Rudy Gobert, it's, 6'9 truck like Naz Reid, 6'9 absolute truck Julius Randle, 6 foot 10 Jaden McDaniels. 6 foot five, when they take Conley off the floor and they go DiVincenzo and Ant, they're 6'4", 6'5", like the smallest guy on the floor is 6 foot four Dante DiVincenzo, who's tough as nails.
Which Anthony Edwards, I watched the Sports Science on him yesterday. 25 pounds heavier than the average guard in the NBA.
Oh, he's a football player.
Yeah.
He is a linebacker. He's huge.
225 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big dude who is incredibly explosive. But we always talk about these matchups and styles making fights, man. And this lines up really well.
Okay. Oh, this series does? Yeah. Which player is the one that this means the most for, though, in this series? Like, when you think about, like, both of these teams, like, the timeline has been like, OKC's got a window. It is open. I think you're looking at Minnesota. They have a window. It is open. Both of these teams have been through the playoffs, been through their struggles. But you mentioned a guy like Julius Randle. How much does this mean for him? And I think it's more Ant Edwards and finding an identity in the playoffs. But on the flip side, you have like guys like Chet Holmgren, who has withered in some spots, but also come up huge. Jalen Williams, which he was incredible against Denver early in that game, finding his identity and just being that dude that disappears at times.
I'm going to go outside the box.
SGA.
I'm going to go outside the box. It's Rudy Gobert.
Goberts.
Shea.
Wearing them Goberts.
Ant, Chet, those guys, they're young. They've got, look, you look at Boston, you see what happens to Tatum, and you never know what's going to happen. You're never always going to get back. Remember the 2012 Thunder, everybody thought, oh, this team's going to, run the West for years to come, and then poof, gone. But
Portland Trailblazers with Brandon Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But with that being said, if the Timberwolves get to the finals, a team that has never been to the finals, and let's say that the unthinkable happens and the Timberwolves win an NBA Finals, Rudy Gobert is unassailable at that point. He's got four Defensive Player of the Years. He's got an NBA title. He's, multi-time All-Star and all the crap that, Rudy gets played off the floor. Like, he doesn't ever get played off the floor defensively. He gets played off the floor offensively. And if they go out there and he's able to anchor this team, and that's the thing is, that Denver team that they just beat is not a good defensive team. This Minnesota team is a good defensive team, and it starts and ends with Rudy Gobert. And if he is, because they can single, like, here's the thing about Minnesota. We just talked about how big and physical they are. They can stick Ant Edwards or Jaden McDaniels on SGA in single coverage and live with that.
Yeah.
They can live with that and also keep Rudy Gobert at the rim. Now, how does OKC match that? And if Rudy Gobert can anchor that team and be the guy that, people say, oh, he's not actually that good of a defender. I've talked to other NBA players like, oh, he's good. He's not that good. I'm just like, you don't alter that many shots, limit that many attempts around the rim and block that many shots and just shut stuff down and not be good. And it's just like, I get it. People don't like him. That's fine. The dude's good. But if all of a sudden you put that hand up and you got the ring on it, he's stamped.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's stamped.
He's got to make it through the West first.
I mean, he's got to beat probably the toughest team left. But if he does it, you all of a sudden Rudy Gobert starts popping up in conversations of one of the best interior guys defensively ever.
All right, 503-864-6326. That be the fan text line. All right, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday. Did you talk about the debut of the local guy?
No, we didn't get a chance to get to it.
Holy crap.
Yeah, because what a day.
Incredible.
What a day.
Incredible day. Both of us, actually all three of us, we can put our hatred of Jesuit High School aside.
I mean, I can't, but...
No, for like 5 minutes.
Mm. Okay, since it's a big ask.
For 5 minutes. Because the local guy has got to get a tip of the cap. Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, we, as Metro League guys through and through... You know?
For life.
YouTube, Beaverton.
Yep.
I'm a Glencoe alum.
Mm-hmm.
We have our beefs with Jesuit High School.
Yes.
You know?
Well deserved.
Well deserved.
A slur that we can no longer use either.
Well, look, the it's all right, it's okay, you'll be working for us someday.
Yep.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
They get old really quick. Mm-hmm. They get old really quick. You know?
Yep.
And, it's not wrong.
We didn't lose very much when I was in high school, but the couple times we did,
yeah,
it was the Jesuit.
Yeah.
And it sucked.
Yeah. And they knew it.
Yeah.
But there is a Jesuit alum who is one hell of a, well, they actually have a couple because mm-hmm. they have two pitchers that are dynamic mm-hmm. and really damn good dudes. And young. And one is Noble Meyer, who is in the Miami Marlins mm-hmm. organization, who was a draft pick just a couple of years ago, who is a flamethrower.
Got gas.
Yeah, yeah. I watched MLB scouts at the one game I went and watched him pitch. They had all the guns. They went, whoa.
Was he throwing 98 in high school?
No, he touched 100.
Oh, he did touch 100. Good God.
Yeah, yeah. But he's still working his way up. And over the weekend, another Jesuit alum, Mick Abel, made his Major League Baseball debut. And we talked about this on Friday last week, that he got the call up to the big leagues for the Philadelphia Phillies. And his debut in Major League Baseball was on Sunday opposite Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
There's two ways to go about this.
Yep.
One, you're going against Paul Skeens, which you're thinking, oh, crap, can I get any run support? It's terrifying. He's mm-hmm. the nastiest pitcher probably in baseball right now. The flip side is, ooh, it's the Pirates lineup.
Yeah. So here's the line. And for a pitcher, it is knowing how good you have to be based on the guy that you're pitching against, right? Because you know that Skeens is going to be dealing. And he went 8 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Okay? He picked up a loss in that game.
That run was the only run scored in the game.
Because Mick Abel, in his major league debut, went 6 innings pitched, gave up 5 hits, no runs, no walks, and struck out 9. In his Major League Baseball debut, threw 84 pitches in his big league debut, and
84 pitches in 6 innings is that's money, man.
He was the talk of baseball, mm-hmm. man. He truly was. He was the talk of baseball. On Intentional Talk, they asked Ryan Dempster, what was more impressive, the way that Skeens was pitching in his bag and he was in it,
mm-hmm.
giving up only one run, or the rookie Mick Abel coming up and throwing the way he did. And he said he went into a little thing about how dominant Paul Skeens is, because we have to do this with guys like Paul Skeens and Mike Trout, yeah. right? Because they're on
god awful teams,
horrible teams,
but they're all timers.
Yes,
Skeens is already an all timer. The way his dominance is unreal.
Yeah, and just like give it another like 6 months, people are going to really start hating Shohei Ohtani because mm-hmm. he got that because he was an Angel.
Yeah.
Now they're like, okay, come on, guy.
Yeah, they need you to calm down.
Come on there, guy. Even though I love what he's doing. Oh, it's God. Incredible. It's
so much fun.
But after giving Skeens his flowers, he was like, this kid is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he's been doing this in minors. He's been working his way up. And so Mick Abel, Jesuit High School, Portland Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Major league debut, picks up the W. That's awesome.
5 years in the minors, which is not uncommon for pitchers.
Mm-mm.
It usually takes a couple years to work your way up, unless you're a freak like Strasburg.
Or Paul Skeens.
what did he have? What, wasn't it like 17 starts? Something like that?
Yeah, he was fat. Yeah, it
he
was
flew
nuts.
Through.
It was nuts. But well, Mick Abel, good on you.
Yeah.
Tip of the cap.
Love to see it.
Tip of the cap. You know. And he went to Jesuit.
It's been a while since we've had an Oregon baseball product, a true dyed-in-the-wool Oregon baseball product be dominant.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I feel like in my old age, I'm softening on Jesuit. My neighbors, I'm not. My neighbors are Jesuit.
Mm.
They go to Jesuit. Their kids do. Well, their kids do.
Yeah.
And I like my neighbors.
Mm.
And I like their kids.
Mm.
What's wrong with me?
For me, Jesuit's like a crossover, like Oregon and Notre Dame, because it's green and gold.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I hate this all together.
Dude, it's great.
I have a lot of hate in my heart. It's true.
Yeah. And it's like, I like all their, like, as I've worked here, like working sidelines, like, I like Ken Potter. I like Gene Potter, the basketball coach. I like Griff, the baseball coach. Like, it seemed like they have.
I don't hate the people. I hate the institution.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, they got good people there.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, dang it. But they got athletes.
Yeah. I don't hate people I like at Oregon. I mean, there's a lot of people down there that I like. I just hate the institution.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Notre Dame, I hate the people.
Whoa. All right. Well, that's a lot, really long way of saying, dude, Mick Abel, that was awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That was awesome. And there's going to be another big arm coming through in Noble Meyer.
And Noble was a first round pick, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Both of them were. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. And Meyer's, I think he's, if I remember right, I thought I saw him ranked in like the top 15 of minor league prospects.
I could see that being a thing for him.
Yeah.
I could see that being a thing for, he's a 6'5" flamethrower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. I like seeing the local guys all come up and.
No, it's cool. I mean, who's the last truly local guy? Darwin?
No, I don't know.
Well, I guess Adley.
Yeah, Adley Rutschman would be.
Yeah.
He'd be the one.
Eric on the old YouTube chat here does bring up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
The question should be, what school did he go to before transferring to Jesuit?
Mm. Oh, none. I think he just went there.
Yeah.
It's not an unfair question.
Yeah. Did he live in the state of Washington, though?
It's not. No. That one blew my mind when I was in high school. I was like, you drive from where?
Yeah. Like, you have an hour and a half drive every day?
You're from Ridgefield?
Yeah. How does that happen?
I don't make it to school, and I live down the street. How do you do this?
It's the private car service.
All right. Here we go. Let's get to hour number two, shall we?
Indeed.
Great. Hey, golf club. McAble, holding it down for the state of Oregon. I love that. Mm. I appreciate that.
I will stop at Jesuit.
Hell of a major league
baseball
debut.
No, that's awesome, man. To go out there and battle against Skeens like that and get the better of him. And again, yep. Skeens was unreal. But go ahead and take a look at the Pirates lineup versus the Phillies lineup. And there's levels of dominance.
Giving up one run to the Phillies is pretty damn good.
It's pretty damn good. Yeah. Phillies.
That's like a Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, Phillies right now 28-18. Pittsburgh Pirates 15-32.
Yikes, dog.
Yeah. And the Pirates are already on a new manager.
Yeah, hey. All right.
So
good luck to him.
Got that going for you.
Which is nice. All right. So we got some NFL news notes, nuggies to go, including Chip Kelly making his imprint on Ashton Gentry already.
Yeah,
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.